Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
In 1773, a German pastor by the name of Johann August Ephraim Gutzer discovered a tiny little creature which came to be known as a tardy grader, which means slow stepper. It's more commonly known because of the way it looks as a water bear. And this little thing, this water bear, is actually a fully functional animal. It grows to about a millimeter in length, but it does everything that a normal animal does. It eats, it sleeps, it reproduces, a fully functioning organ system. But what's quite incredible about this water bear is that it has come to be known as the animal which is impossible to kill. This little creature can withstand temperatures of up to 149 degrees Celsius, right down to minus 200 degrees. It can withstand radiation. It can withstand being boiled. It can withstand pressure as much as 6 times the deepest part of the ocean. It can withstand not having food or water for a couple of decades. It can withstand being in a vacuum environment like space for up to 10 days surviving. And they say that if asteroids, gamma rays, and supernovas were to destroy the Earth, water bears would survive. Quite crazy to think about that little creature surviving. You know, the one word that comes to mind straight away when I think of a water bear is resilience. A water bear is the most resilient creature known to man. The definition of resilience is quite simply the ability of any substance to spring back into shape, or the capacity of something to recover from tough or difficult circumstances. So I want to pose this to you this morning. How resilient are you? How much can you absorb and endure before getting back into shape? How much can you take? How much capacity do you have to endure? Because often the foundation of our success comes from our ability to be resilient. Great marriages, great churches, great nations, great careers, great financial stability, it all comes down to the ability to be resilient. God wants us to be resilient people, to learn to push through, overcome, endure, and see the blessing of God on the other side. So the title of the message this morning is Becoming a Resilient Person. Becoming a resilient person. How many of you would agree in today's world we need to be resilient people? You know, in science, the definition of resilience is to absorb energy when it is deformed elastically and then release that energy upon unloading. So maybe I should pose it this way today. How much can you absorb before you break? How much can you take in life? There's another definition in science. It's called proof resilience. Proof resilience is the maximum energy that can be absorbed by any substance up to the elastic limit without creating permanent distortion. So let me ask you this today. How much can you absorb in life before distortion takes place? How much can your faith absorb before it's distorted? How much can your marriage absorb? How much can your emotions absorb before something breaks? How much can our character absorb? How much can our convictions absorb before we break them? Resilience and resilient people have the ability to absorb, 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 and then get back to shape and keep moving on with life. God wants us to be resilient people. If we look at something this morning that's non-resilient, like a bubble is one of the most non-resilient things. You blow a bubble, you literally have to do this, and it pops. You know, there are many people in the world that are bubble people. It just takes one little thing in their whole world. It's just one little comment. It's one little, you walked past them and you didn't say hi because you were focused on something and suddenly their world is, or they saw that you liked other people's posts and commented, but you didn't like their post. I saw you like Pastor Dean's, but you didn't like mine. Why didn't you like mine? Well, it was mine not good enough to, but you commented on theirs. You said happy birthday to them, but you forgot my birthday. It just said you forgot to include me in that social event. It's just one little thing. And in fact, you know what bubble people are? They want everyone else to blow them up with affirmation and positive words and include. But the moment something in life happens, how many of you know God doesn't want us to be bubble people? We need to be resilient people who rely on God to fill our identity, to rely on God to fill our confidence, and we can endure, push through, because we always see the blessing and the favor of God on the other side. How resilient are you? How much heat can you take? You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, Paul speaking, it's one of my favorite scriptures, because we have to learn there are different doctrines within church, and there's grace and there's love and there's comfort from God, of course, but we can't just live there. We have to realize on the other side, there's life, there's challenges, there's difficulties, and God wants to help us learn to push through. And Paul here speaks of these difficulties, and he says this: we are pressed on every side by troubles. I don't know, maybe you came into the year or you ended last year going, yeah, I feel like that. It's like from one side, the finances, from one side, it's the marriage, from one side, it's health. It just feels like troubles everywhere. But he doesn't end there. But we are not crushed. In other words, God is on our side and I stand resilient, stand firm. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but I get up again. Never going to keep you down. I get knocked. But we are not destroyed. I love Paul. He's going, yes, there, God is on our side. I have the comfort and the grace of God. But in the midst of challenges, because I have God, I'm facing all these difficulties, but I'm not perplexed. I'm not in despair. I'm not, you know what, I'm going to get through it. All the challenges are, I will stand resilient and push through. Many of us live in the first half of those scriptures. I'm pressed on every side. I'm perplexed. I'm hunted down. I'm knocked down. But we forget that we need to be resilient people who push through to the other side. So we're going to look at a couple of points this morning on what resilient people do. And I pray that you'd allow the Holy Spirit to just convict each of our hearts and be honest with God and allow Him to go, that's an area. That's an area. Could be one. It could be all six. But as God illuminates those in our heart, we can change or we can become stronger. Number one, the first thing that resilient people do is they get over it. If you are offended by me saying that right now, you're probably the person I'm speaking to this morning. But seriously, how many of you know resilient people get over it? We live in a hypersensitive, overly sensitive world, where you just can't say the wrong thing about anyone, about anything, because everyone's offended by something. Offense, how many of you know offense is taken, not given? Resilient people learn to go, I won't take that. I won't take that. I won't take that because I'm stronger and I will push through the situation. I was reading an article yesterday that someone sent me, and I forget what the organization is called, but it's the organization in America that deals with animals and such, and they put out an article saying that you should no longer be allowed to call your animals pets, because pets is derogatory to your dogs and to your cats. So if you use the word pet, it implies that they're an object, they're a thing that someone has. So you can't call them pets anymore. And you look at that article and you think, the whole world has gone mad. We're sensitive about everything. And someone will raise that and try and bring it to the Supreme Court so that they, because everyone's sensitive about something. Resilient people get over it. How many of you know there's sometimes we actually just need to tell ourselves, get over it. I love when David in the Psalm speaks about the fact that he tells his soul to worship, tells his soul to give thanks. He's basically going, despite how you feel, soul, you will worship and praise God. I think sometimes we need to say, hey, despite how I'm feeling, Chase, get over it. Your marriage is more important than this little argument. Your church is more important than this little thing that you have. Your health is more important. Your convictions, your dream, your ambitions, it's more important. So I choose to get over it. But I'm very wary when I say get over it, though. Because I know many of you have faced challenges beyond what many people might even understand. Some of you have faced great abuse and great difficulties in life. So as I stand here, I'm not saying to you, get over it. What I am saying is that for your sake, begin the process of choosing to get over it. Because as long as you stay camped in that same place, you will be a non-resilient person. You'll be a bubble that everything hurts, everything offends, and everything will break you. And it's exactly like what we always say. Unforgiveness, grudges, holding on to that stuff is drinking poison and trying to see the other person dying. And all the while we're going, you're going to suffer for what you got. And that person is living life and we are dying inside. So I'm not saying get over it. I'm saying start the process. Because to climb a mountain, you must take a step. And many people are staying at the foot of the mountain. And God says, just take a step. And then take another step. And it might take a week. It might take a month. It might take a couple of years. But there will come a day when you will stand and you will look back and you'll go, I'm over it. How did you get over it? Well, I didn't just jump. But I took a step. I chose to think a little bit differently. I chose to make a commitment. I'm going to be in church every week because that word's going to help me. And I'm taking a step to volunteer. I'm taking a step because as I take steps, I'm actually getting over it. However, there are some little things that I want to say, get over it. There's some things we just have to get over because there's more that God has in store for us. The book of John chapter 5, great story about a gentleman there who finds healing from God, but to begin with, he's paralyzed and he's been so for over 30 years. And he's there where there's the healing pool, where many people found the healing of the Lord. But he's been there for over 30 years and Jesus comes along and says to him, do you truly long to be healed? He didn't politely ask this question. He didn't come and say, well, do you want to be healed? Because I can heal you. Hey, do you want to get out of debt? Do you want to be blessed? Do you want a new job? Do you want, not like that. Jesus basically with the attitude of, well, do you want to get healed? Do you, you know how some of you parents ask your kids sometimes, well, do you or don't you? God's like, do you want to get healed? And we see that attitude because of the response of the man. Jesus knew the heart of the man and his situation for all these years. And look how this man responds. Sir, there's no way I can get healed. For I have no one who will lower me into the water when the angel comes. As soon as I try to crawl to the edge of the pool, someone else jumps in ahead of me. Woe is me. If he had been there for a couple of weeks, couple of months, or even a short few years, I'd have a little bit more sympathy. But the fact that he's been there for over 30 years, and he still can't get over it and take responsibility, tells me why Jesus asked in the manner that he did. Because surely, if you really wanted something to work, somewhere in those over 30 years, you would have held on to someone's ankle as they were going into the pool. And you would have said, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care why you are taking me into that pool. I will hold on to your legs. I'm taking responsibility. If you go down, I'm going down there as well. But instead, I just can't get in. Instead of taking responsibility and saying, you know what, I'm going to get over this. I didn't choose this to happen to me, but I choose how I respond to what's happened to me. I will get in that pool no matter what happens. And I think there's many people in life who get stuck at a certain place, never get over it, and then, why? It's my boss won't give me an increase, my husband won't, my wife won't, the church won't, the government won't. Now, there's all different challenges, but we can keep planting it on other people. There's no one to pull me in the pool. There's no one who can, as long as we keep with that attitude and never get over it, we'll be stuck in the same place, looking at other people getting healed, other people getting blessed, other people starting businesses, other people studying, other people's marriage working, and we'll be stuck in the same place. I'm not saying what you're going through is a result of what you've done, but I am saying the attitude to which you approach that is up to you and I. And the pool might just be there. Hang on to someone if you have to and get into that pool. But we have to take responsibility and choose to get over it. Number two, you being helped today? Number two, resilient people renew their minds daily. They renew their minds daily. Every time we wake up, we need to think differently. We need to renew our thinking. Ask God for a fresh perspective. Because if we think with the same processes as yesterday, As Dr. John Maxwell says, if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always got. If you always think the same way, if you think the same way tomorrow as you do today for your marriage, it'll likely be in the same challenge. Yeah. Same way financially, same way career, same way with studies. We've got to every day think differently. Yeah. The Bible says in Philippians 4, brothers and sisters, speaking to the church, Christians, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. You know, if you're challenged in your marriage today, can I stir you to think about the good things for your husband or your wife? Some of you are like, there's nothing. I can't find a thing. There are good things. Even if you have to dig, there are good things. And if we bring those good things to light and we think about those good things, that becomes a marriage. Because what we think about, we act, and that's how we live out. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. Because when we think on those things, we become resilient and we're able to push through. When we think like that, we can push through any challenge. Number three, resilient people, they think big picture. They think big picture. Walt Disney was rejected by 302 banks before finally being granted the money on the 303rd try to start Disneyland. And the rest is history. Because he saw big picture. J.K. Rowling, irrelevant of what you think about Harry Potter, was rejected by all 12 publishing houses that she applied to. At that point in life, she had got divorced, she was on welfare, and she had a child to support, but she saw the big picture. The rest is history. Colonel Sanders, who some of us know very well, at age 65. Listen, never count yourself out when you've reached a certain age. If you're sitting here, you're breathing, God still has work to do. Never get to a certain age and go, that's when God can't do anything. No, at 65 years of age, on a social grant check of $100 a month, after having his fried chicken idea rejected by 1,009 people, some of us would have given up when 10 people said they don't like it. He decided to go around himself, door to door, and he began KFC because he saw the bigger picture. And the rest is history. What about Jay-Z, who was rejected by every major record label that he sent his album to? So, if they all rejected him, what did he do? He started his own label. 17 Grammys later, and he's laughing his way to the bank with a net worth of $500 million, because he saw the bigger picture. If we see the bigger picture, we're able to push through. And many people, they give up after one no, after one rejection, after one block, after one door being closed. I don't know about you, but if I was Walt Disney, after 10 banks, I'd be going, maybe this is a sign. Maybe God clearly... No, sometimes God is saying, how much do you want this God-given dream? How much do you want your marriage to work? How much do you want to see yourself in a successful place? How much do you want your business to work? And as we seek God, we learn to be resilient, we see the bigger picture, and we push through. The question that needs to be asked is, do you know what your bigger picture is? We had Vision Weekend last weekend. We spoke about vision and seeing bigger. What is your bigger picture? What is your bigger picture for your marriage? A year from now, 10 years, how do you see your marriage? What is your bigger picture for your finances? You know, we can't be casting demons out of the minus sign and then doing nothing on a daily basis. That minus sign will get bigger and bigger and bigger. I was telling Centurion the other week, you know what we need to do? We need to apply the principles and trust the person. So we financially go, you know what, God, I see a bigger picture. I want to be debt free. I want to be financially strong. I want to be able to set up generations after me. I want my grandchildren's grandchildren to be living in the blessing that I created in my lifetime. So today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say no to that. I can't be going to Macro for that deal that's happening with that TV. I can't be doing this. I can't be. And people won't always understand, but it's no, 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 because there's a big picture in mind. But when you don't have a big picture, guess what? We'll buy what we want. We'll spend what we want. Many people walk around, I want to be a millionaire one day. But it's all a dream. Because practically they're going out and buying everything that they see. Every pair of sneakers, every shirt. And they'll never become a millionaire because we're not practically living the big picture. But when we have a big picture, God, this is where I want to be. This is what my marriage to look like. I want to have this much. I want to own this many properties. I want my children to go through varsity. I don't want to rent anymore. I want to buy my own property. I want to do this. Guess what? The big picture allows us to go, no, resilience, push through. There's more in store. We need to be able to push through. We need to have resilience, and we need to think big picture. What is your big picture? Number four, resilient people, they have a strong bench. Some of you are like, yes, I've been benching 200 lately. They have a strong bench. Pastor Obed Martinez, great friend to our senior pastors in our church from Destiny Church in California, he preached a message once at a men's meeting called Who's on Your Bench? And the idea is that every Christian, every person needs to have a strong bench, because the bench is where the greatest support comes from. You know, in a game, it's the bench that often cheers the loudest, supports the most. When the game is not going as planned, it's often the bench that can come on and change the game. It's often the bench that when the team is playing quite badly and the fans start turning, it's the bench that'll keep cheering, the bench that'll keep shouting, saying, come on, team. We'll stand up and cheer. It's the bench. Who's on your bench? Do you have people on your bench that are cheering for you? Do you have people on your bench that during the game of life are urging you on? Come on, you can do it. Your marriage can work. You can be debt-free. Come on, God has forgiven you. There's more in your life. You need to believe. Are there people on your bench like that? Who are cheering you on? I love the scripture in Proverbs 18. Some friends may ruin you, but a real friend will be more loyal than a brother. Let's go back to the first two words there. Some friends may ruin you. Not some colleagues, not some strangers, not some acquaintances. Some friends may ruin you. Hear me for a moment. There are some friends on your bench that are cheering for you, but inside they're hoping you get injured so they can get in the game. Confession moment. When I was in primary school and I didn't get picked for the team and I was on the bench, I secretly hoped someone would get injured in the game so that I could play. Some of you laughing, you're like, yeah, when I was in school, if I got on the bench, I really, not a major injury. You know, you're sitting on the bench, you're like, why couldn't I play? So you kind of hope like maybe his ankle will just give way and he has to limp, or not a big one, just enough so that I can get in the game because I want to play. Some of you, there's people on your bench that on the outside, come on, you can do it. But inside they're going, I hope that deal falls through because I don't want to see you successful if I'm not. Come on, you can make your marriage work. But inside they're like, I really want to be with him or her. I hope the marriage doesn't work. Also because my marriage is not working, so I hope their marriage doesn't work because I can't see their marriage be successful while I'm struggling. There's people that are cheering and clapping and applauding saying, yeah, you can do it, but they hope that things don't work out because they are not playing and you are, and they can't bear to see that. We need discernment from God's Holy Spirit. God, who are the loyal friends in my life? Who are the ones that are cheering but inside are hoping I fail? Because I need friends on my bench that will cheer for me, that will applaud for me. And then if I'm injured or struggling, they come onto the game with me with the same vision, the same goal. They lift me up and they go, come on, we can do this. Come on, this can work out. They don't come and try to take the game away from me. They run along with me in the same game. So who's on your bench? Because every resilient person will know. They're not proud to say, I can do it. Resilient people go, I'm strong, but it's also because of them. It's because of the people that are cheering for me. It's because of the people that I can phone. It's because of the people that are there for me. Every resilient person needs a strong bench. Never think that you and I can make it on our own. God didn't design us for that. God designed for community. That's why church is so important to be at. Because just being here, you've got community. You got reminded that, hey, we're a team. We're in this game together. And the more and more, every time you come to church, what's actually happening is you're creating a bigger bench for people. And you're building an opportunity for people to come and know Jesus. Number five this morning, load shedding. But we are resilient, so we push through. Number five, resilient people, they don't try to please everyone. They don't try to please everyone. You know, one of the greatest freedoms in life is when you're free from trying to please everyone. the moment you get to a point in life where you realize you don't have to always like what I'm doing or who I am, as long as I'm pursuing God, as long as I'm being obedient to God's word, it's okay if you don't like me. It's okay, it's fine, because I'm doing what God needs me to do. I just want to get into the presence of the Lord quickly. Some more anointing coming my way. We don't have to please everyone. And here's the thing that will set some of you free. This quote, I want to read this quote. Aristotle says this: there is only one way to avoid criticism. Do nothing, say nothing, and be nothing. So if you're quite happy to go through life doing nothing, saying nothing, and being nothing, well, then that's fine. You won't get any criticism. But the moment you want to do something that is effectively building into your purpose that God has given you, expect someone to look at you and disagree, reject you, say something about it. You don't have to please everyone. Resilient people know that as long as they got the strong bench and they're doing what God has called them to do, they'll keep pushing through. And not everyone has to like what they're doing. Listen, if you've made some financial decisions that, you know what, today I'm 30, today I'm 40, today I'm 50, in 5 years' time I'm going to be financially free, I'm not going to be in debt anymore. You're going to have people that when you have to say, sorry, I can't go out tonight. Sorry, I can't go to that restaurant. I'm not paying 400 rand for that meal. I'll go to Starbucks with you and I'll have a coffee, or we can go make a coffee at our house and we can sit down and we can talk. There are going to be people that, why don't you want to come out? Why did, come on, it's just 200 rand, it's just 300. No, I have a big picture in mind and you're not going to like my decision, but in 10 years from now, when I'm able to go out and say, hey, I'll pay the bill for everyone, I'll be thankful that I made that decision back then. And you're not always going to like it, but it's for the benefit of my bigger picture. Some of you are going to make health decisions where you're going to go, you know what, I can't keep eating like that. And you're going to go to family events and social events and you're going to say, sorry, I can't have that, I can't have that. And people are going to be offended that you don't want to eat their food. Why don't you, is my food not good enough for you? Why aren't you eating with the family? But you've made a decision to become healthier so you can live longer, so you can see your children grow up, and not everyone's going to like that. Not everyone likes the decisions we make as a church. We're locking the gates 50. What do you mean? Why would you lock the gates? This is a church. How can you? We know the bigger picture. We know what God has called. It's for the benefit of everyone else. We see the big, not everyone's going to like it, but we got a vision. We got a goal. We're trying to help people. And whenever we have a big picture, not everyone's going to like it. And you have to settle that it's okay. Pastor Andre has freed many people by one of the things he said in his first messages in the year. He said this. He said, church, no is a complete sentence. And it's okay to say no. I love what Galatians says. Paul says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want to ask you this today. Are you trying to please God? Or are you trying to please people? What do you mean you started volunteering? What do you mean you're tithing 10%? You know these churches. I'm trying to please God, not people. And as long as I'm pleasing God, that's okay. I'd rather have God cheering me and applauding me and a million people mocking me than a million people saying, you're so wonderful, but God's going, but you didn't do what I asked you to do. Because at the end of the day, it's His voice that truly counts more than anyone else. Now, I'm not saying with me rude and horrible to people. We need to be kind, but honor God first and foremost. Number six, the last point this morning, and I pray you've been stirred to think about some of these areas. Resilient people, they embrace challenges as opportunities for growth. Resilient people embrace challenges as opportunities for growth. Resilient people don't look at challenges and go, why God? Why have you let this happen? Why are you punishing me? Why are things that they realize that life is life and life has difficulty, and I can either be consumed by this challenge or I can stand upon this challenge and use it as a step to the next journey of my life. Resilient people know how to take a challenge, put it down, and step on it to cause them to grow in different areas. You know, in exercise, resistance is the only way to become stronger and fitter. It's the only way we grow. So why are we apply that to physical and we like, that's obvious. Yet in life, in spiritual matters, in difficult situations, we go, why God? It's the same principle. In order for our faith to be strengthened, it must face resistance. In order for a marriage, in order for anything, finances, career, studies, friendships, for anything to grow higher, there must be resistance so that we can overcome. And we must be resilient to push through. because it's only when we push through that we truly see the favor and the blessing of God on the other side. As I come to a close today, many of you would either have or have slept on at some point a memory foam mattress or a memory foam pillow. The idea of memory foam is very simple. It has its shape. The minute a substance of heat, our bodies, is applied to it, it molds into that shape. It absorbs the heat. But the moment you lift your head or you step out, you get up from the mattress, it returns to its original shape. That's what God wants you and I to be like. That when the heat comes in life, we're able to absorb and be resilient and take shape. But the moment we push through it, we just go straight back to our original shape. The problem is there are many people walking around in life and they are bent out of shape from something that took place and they've never recovered back to their original state. And I want to say this today. God wants to heal you and take you back. God wants to take your marriage that seems bent out of shape and restore its shape. God wants to take your emotions where you feel, but I'm bent out of shape. That hurt me so much, and I'm still carrying the shape of what happened. God wants to restore your shape back to its original. Whatever you're facing in life, wherever you're at in life, God wants to restore you and then help you to become resilient. So every time the heat is applied, you simply absorb and go back. Absorb and go back so that you can push through to the other side.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.